This is the Daily Dope, presented by The Gaming Gang, for Friday, January 27th, 2012. Yes, it's time for another irrelevant look at the gaming news of the day. Hi again, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. It's Friday, all right, let's bring on the weekend. But first, we do have some news to cover, so let's get to it. DaVinci Games has an expansion to Lupus and Tabula that should be in stores already, and it's Lady Werewolf's Revenge. In it, you'll return to the haunted village of Tabula, where some people are people and other people are werewolves at night. For this expansion, new creatures arise in the night seeking their prey. Under the light of the full moon, Lara, the lady werewolf, takes her revenge. Who will survive? In this expansion to Lupus and Tabula, the village of Tabula has grown as creepy creatures have joined the villagers. A whole new faction works in the shadows, and ghosts with special powers haunt the town. Can you survive the increasing dangers of Tabula? Find out with Lady Werewolf's Revenge. Although, I have to be honest, Lupus and Tabula is simply another version of the classic game Werewolf. Although, I have to say, it looks like it's one of the nicer additions out there. The revelation cycle for Call of Cthulhu the card game is coming soon from Fantasy Flight Games, so let's take a peek at one of the first relic hunters. The revelation cycle for Call of Cthulhu the card game introduces new relic hunters to the game, daring and enigmatic characters who seek rare and arcane tomes for those they serve or those who employ them. We meet our first relic hunters in Written and Bound, the first asylum pack in the Revelation cycle, and we learn a little about why these people risk health and sanity to procure powerful treatises for the factions with which they've aligned themselves. Chauncey Swan is wealthy, well-schooled, and morally very flexible. Each of these attributes proves important on a daily basis in his role as an Eldritch acquisitionist. Professionally, Chauncey excels as a collector of things obscure, seeking out artifacts and tomes of Eldritch power. Recruited into the Order of the Silver Twilight while still in college, Swan remains dedicated and loyal, and has made the most of his connections from within the Order. In exchange for his services, the Order provides him great wealth and political power. The process of procuring rare items brings Chauncey close to danger on a regular basis, and he's been known to employ rather extreme measures to outwit rival collectors, outpace the local authorities, and cover his tracks. The Order is willing to put up with Chauncey's risks so long as they keep profiting from his efforts, and each of Chauncey's acts of vandalism or violence binds him more fully into their service. In your games of Call of Cthulhu, Chauncey provides the Order of the Silver Twilight exactly the services for which they pay him. He acquires rare items. Chauncey starts with just 2 icons and 2 skill for 3 costs, but when he can research the Order's tomes before committing to a story, he gains 2 more icons, making him something of a Renaissance man with everything short of a terror icon. And you can easily spend some of the Order's funds on a Tico Tico talisman to supply him with 2 terror icons, making him competent in every struggle. More importantly, Chauncey provides the Order of the Silver Twilight with a limited ability to search for support cards and, in turn, a measure of card advantage they've long desired. The Order of the Silver Twilight safeguards many powerful secrets in their cloistered sanctums, but they often need additional support cards to forward their agenda. Chauncey helps. While the Order stymies their opponent's efforts with characters like Lord Jeffrey Farrington, the High Wizard of the Order, and the Initiate of Huang Hun, Chauncey can slip past his rivals to uncover weapons like the Crescent Blade or powerful relics like the Eon Shard. Chauncey's efforts may even provide critical support to the Order's hidden agenda by uncovering a ritual of power. It's hard to say how many spells and tricks the Orders can conjure during a second story phase if they have all their domains available, but it's a safe bet they're happy to have Chauncey locate the key components for their rituals. How large the Order's collection of Eldritch artifacts has grown, few can say. Perhaps Chauncey Swan may have some clue, but the world is unlikely to know until the Order of the Silver Twilight has collected enough that their power will be unassailable, and when they reveal their intent to use these artifacts to enslave the world or save it. Until such a time, the different factions of Call of Cthulhu the card game race to secure the secrets of occult tomes that have long lain forgotten, written and bound. Written and Bound is coming soon from Fantasy Flight Games. Lock and Load Games has announced that Nuclear Winter 68 should be arriving from the printers within 4 to 6 weeks, and this is a title I know Elliot and I were really looking forward to making the P500 cut. It has made the cut, and due to a mounted board, production has taken a bit longer than expected. The former German territory transformed into a wasteland by the nuclear holocaust that ended the Second World War in 1946 is the hostile setting of a new conflict between old enemies clenched in a struggle for the future of mankind. Surviving Nazi leaders and Wehrmacht forces resurface in 1968 from underground shelters to rebuild an empire from the ashes of the world. Oblivious to the climatic, technological, and political changes inflicted by more than 20 years of nuclear winter, they're about to face the mysterious Black Hand, elusive, abhorrent masters of the wastes, and the combined might of the modern, highly mechanized, and versatile NATO alliance. Fight as the resurgent Dreadus Reich and their powerful E-100 tanks and reworked Stukas. Assume command of NATO with Patton M-60s and Russian T-62s. Or lead the mysterious Black Hand, mutant warriors who are masters of beast and machine alike. Also at the printers is White Star Rising Operation Cobra, an expansion for the game White Star Rising in the Nations at War series. This expansion focuses on the events surrounding the Allied breakout from the Normandy beachhead over the course of a month in July and August 1944. White Star Rising Operation Cobra adds the Canadians, the Free French, and the Free Polish to the Nations at War series in addition to new units for the Americans, British, and Germans. White Star Rising Operation Cobra comes with 9 standalone scenarios, focusing on events near Falaise as the Germans tried to escape the converging Allied armies. Among the topics are the Polish stand on Mount Ormel Ridge and Canadian efforts to capture the village of Saint-Lambert-sur-Dives. White Star Rising Operation Cobra also contains a 5-scenario linked campaign following the breakout of American armored units during Operation Cobra at the end of July 1944. It's important to note, White Star Rising Operation Cobra is not a standalone game. You will need White Star Rising to play. In other Lock and Load news, Steam and Steel is currently making the waves on their P500 pre-order system. Steampunk, or at least a derivative thereof, comes to Lock and Load Publishing. In 1914, after smashing a Russian offensive in the east, Imperial Germany unleashes its Schlieffen plan on an unsuspecting France. Led by its armored U-Wagon strike force, the German army literally runs over the French and nearly reaches Paris before the land dreadnoughts of the British Expeditionary Force first hold and then drive back the enemy thrusts. By the end of 1916, the Americans have entered the war and their own fast and heavily armored mechanized forces are poised to enter the fray. Huge, steam-powered armored behemoths, over 100 feet long and crewed by over 3 dozen men, crawl across the devastated landscape and drive fear into their enemies' hearts. From the might of the German U-Wagon, to the overwhelming firepower of the British land dreadnoughts, and the maneuverability of the United States armored Conestogas, we see a war fought without mercy. Steam and Steel is an easy-to-learn and play 2-player steampunk-influenced tactical-level game set in an alternate World War I, where we see that a breakthrough in steam engine technology has brought about a revolution in war. Influenced heavily by H.G. Wells's The Land Ironclads, Steam and Steel depicts armored units and infantry in the field fighting the massive land battleships with the assistance of mechanized carriers and an array of support weapons. An innovative reaction phase brings a degree of uncertainty to each engagement. It is now 1917 and you are in command of a small striking force of infantry and armored vehicles charged with prosecuting the war and hastening final victory. Move out! You can learn more about Nuclear Winter 68, White Star Rising Operation Cobra, and Steam and Steel, or any of the other great games, by visiting lockandloadgame.com. This week, Raging Swan Press is proud to announce their release of Cultus of Havrazul, a Pathfinder role-playing game compatible GM's resource by Pierre Van Ruden that presents a semi-secret cult seemingly dedicated to law and order, but that has a fallen darkness lurking at its core. The Order of the Dictum fights crime and corruption in a lawless society. They are the voice of the people and an ally to those who desire law and order. But are they as benevolent as they seem? Is the code of order they seek to establish what the people truly want? A dark force lurks at the center of this cult, and those that expect to find a kindred vigilant may instead discover too late that the people's wants do not count at all. For all that counts for the order of the dictum is the law of Havrazul. Etheric Dreams has released the rulebook for their new RPG, Knights of the Crusades. Knights of the Crusades is a role-playing game set in a land and time that is familiar on the surface, but within its cracks lie tales of sorcery, madness, and violence. It's a world that could have happened and then been lost to barbarity and time. Players take on characters that can explore its lands and plunder it for wealth or knowledge. The Tale Weaver is their guide, plunging them into the horrors of war and fanaticism as they pursue their goals. The world is rife with dark cults, creatures that dwell in unseen places, and bloodthirsty warriors. This is a time when anyone's thoughts from king to slave are enough to condemn them to death and hell, and many are they that will line up to cheer the execution. The setting of Knights of the Crusades is a mixture of the 1001 Knights, the history surrounding the Crusades, and both modern and ancient tales of terror. The rules reflect mature and gritty issues, including the psychological impacts of combat and killing. The gameplay also allows for tension in every form of conflict, whether verbal or physical, and the game becomes more complicated as the characters advance. A group of companions made up of an artist, diplomat, and physician will be as enjoyable to play as one made up of a warrior, archer, and thief. The 106-page Knights of the Crusades rulebook is available as a free download at the Etheric Dreams website. And finally, you say you really like the Marvel comic character Deadpool? Well, are you ready for Deadpool the musical? What? The musicals, you say? That's right. This week, Marvel released a special issue of Deadpool by regular series writer Daniel Way. Deadpool number 49.1, to be precise. And true to the character's fourth wall-breaking form, the entire issue was told through song. Specifically, song parodies of OPP by Naughty by Nature, Chocolate Rain by Tay Zonde, Baby One More Time by Britney Spears, and Last Caress by The Misfits. The lyrics were reworked to fit Wade Wilson's origins, and the reader was told to hum along with the tunes. But Jordan D. White, editor of the Deadpool comic, took things one step further and actually recorded the musical version of the issue himself. White, who urges everyone to buy Deadpool if they enjoy the song, does point out this song is not endorsed by or affiliated with Marvel. I did this all on my own time, for no money whatsoever, and I'm letting you hear it and have it completely for free. That being said, it is based on a comic book both Dan and I worked hard on, so we'd sure appreciate it if you swing by the comic shop and pick up a copy. Plus, there is stuff in the comic that's not in the song, both because it's visual and because it's not being sung, so I didn't record it. So please, support the Deadpool book so I can have a job and afford to do ridiculous stuff like this on my off time. I certainly hope he does continue to do ridiculous stuff like this. Between the Deadpool musical and the audio version of Daredevil Marvel released a few weeks ago, there's actually some great listening stuff available from the House of Ideas, and let's hope it continues. That's it for today's show. Elliot will be the host Monday, so I'll be back Tuesday. So until then, have a fantastic weekend and try to deal with your NFL withdrawal. The Super Bowl will be here soon enough. The Daily Dope is presented by The Gaming Gang, located at thegaminggang.com. Any similarities to an actual news program are certainly unintentional and, in fact, accidental.